B-Pod Studios.
3 o'clock hour, Mike Missanelli show. Okay, you can climb in at 610-632-0975. We're kind of talking about the balancing act that you're going through, if you are at all, in light of what Malcolm Jenkins had to say, where he talks about football being a non-essential business and we don't need to do it. And he's right. They don't need to do it. And I wonder if we haven't given enough thought to the players being kind of guinea pigs in this whole thing because of our own selfish expectations. It's selfish to a point and then not selfish, because sports will also open up some avenues for other people to be employed. I totally get that. But the majority of fans want football and sports back for the comfort of their own lives in their living room, which means they're not taking any risk at all. The players are taking risk. And it's not good enough to say, well, they're getting all kinds of money, they should take the risk. So we've been talking about that. I want to hear your views on that. Also, one quick thing as we start the 3 o'clock hour. I see we're, Natalie, want to get your opinion on this. Dennis Quaid.
Oh, what about him?
He's getting married. Oh, he did get married. His new bride.
Mm-hmm.
And her name is Laura Savoli.
Mm-hmm.
And she's 27.
What's he in his
66.
60s?
66.
I mean, I'm not shocked, surprised, moved.
Well, here's what he
judgmental.
Says. Here's what he says about it. He says about the age difference, it really doesn't come up. There's just something timeless about us. We're partners.
That's not true.
In our partners in our relationship and in life. I buy it. There could be a 27-year-old out there that's worldly enough to. Well, why?
Because it's just impossible. It just is. She might make him feel younger. There could be a lot of legitimate reasons as to why they're together. And God bless them. But don't give me that she, when she sees him and when he sees her, they don't recognize what he would not be dating her if she was 47.
Well, hold it. The actor told a publication it was, quote, love at first sight, and that they have important things in common. We're both Christians, and right from the start, God has always had a hand in the relationship.
Huh.
Now, that's nice.
Yeah. I mean, if it's true.
You got a problem with that?
I have no problem with God.
Okay.
Here's my problem. I'm going to try to take him at his word. Mm-hmm. So that means that he's a man of mm-hmm. the Lord.
Yeah.
And that means that when he was married to PJ Souls or Meg Ryan mm-hmm. or Kimberly Buffington, the previous three marriages. so now am I to believe it? Like, if this was his second marriage, I would say, hey, this is his fourth. And I'm to believe now it's true love. But the first wife that he was married from 78 to 83 wasn't, or Meg mm-hmm. Ryan from 91 to 2001, or Kimberly Buffington, who he was married to from 2004 to 2018, those weren't. But this one with the child, that's true love.
Let's talk about the age thing, because that's the thing I think is tripping you up mostly.
No, it's the age and this, like his track record.
What do you mean his track record? He's a Hollywood guy, and
four times.
Elizabeth Taylor was married, seven?
Yeah, Hollywood dudes get tempted all the time. And it's like, if whoever they marry, they don't like the fact that they're always working on movies and stuff. I could see where that would happen in Hollywood. You have many marriages, right?
Yeah, for sure.
It doesn't necessarily mean you're flawed.
No, it means you have enough
money to get married multiple times. That's what it means.
Yeah. Well,
you weren't cleaned out from the previous
three. I dated a younger woman, and I never felt like it. Because people will say to you, what do you talk to them about? I always felt on the same page, even though she was a lot younger than me. I never even noticed an age difference because this is what Dennis Quaid says, her character, her intelligence. You know, and she's currently pursuing her PhD in accounting, so she's smart. It's not like you can't have a conversation with her. She's intelligent enough to bond with you.
I never doubt a young person's intelligence. I doubt what you have
the experience.
Yes.
Yeah. What you have in common, but sometimes you don't need a lot in common to click.
If their relationship is based on what he's saying it is, then I don't see any issue with it. I don't. If she's making that choice, I'm sure there's other 27-year-old men in her PhD classes that she could get along with. But if she's making that, right. So if that's what she wants to do, then I'm not judging her. If that's your style, Mike,
this woman that you were dating that was much younger, in her 20s, why did you break it off? Because I know it was you.
I didn't break it off.
You didn't?
No, this was the heartbreak.
Oh, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Yeah. I wasn't trying to take a low blow.
No, she was a meteorologist in town. And left town.
You thought she was older.
Yeah.
That's why.
Yeah.
That's
part of my point. I do believe that an age gap, I think at a certain point it doesn't matter, but I don't think 27's that point.
Okay.
Like, it's almost
I look at her now, she doesn't look like she's 27. She
looks older.
Yeah, she looks like she's in her late 30s.
I think 27, under 25, I'd be like, come on. That's borderline for me, but if she's 27,
well, you know, he's grabbing on to, like, you know.
His youth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like Alec Baldwin. The same thing.
Yes. Yeah.
So they want to feel viable like they used to be. Like,
over the age of 30. She is. And I don't think Alec Baldwin, is he 66? I guess he could be.
Yeah, there's at least a 35-year difference between Alec Baldwin and.
And even that and Hilaria, that one, when I see it.
That's right. He was married to Meg Ryan. That was like the cutesy couple.
Yeah, 10 years.
Yeah.
I think if he had less marriages, I would be more on board. Uh-huh. I think she might be, it's real with her. I find it hard to believe that.
You think that she will eventually get bored with.
No. I think he will.
He will?
Yeah, like he has with the other three women.
I think this is his last grab at the Rose Bowl.
No, it's not.
What are you talking about?
I don't believe it is.
He's not getting married. He's going to be 75 thinking he's got a younger wife.
Where's
he going from this point?
I think she's
on silver singles.
I also think she's betting on. I think she's betting on him not living a long time.
Why?
I think she's 27. I think she's expecting to be single again at 40.
He's not that old. He's 66.
Right, and I bet you she's planning on being single again at like 40.
Maybe she is.
13 years
from
now.
In the meantime, he's going to get 10 years of bliss.
Yeah.
Take care.
I like that you guys really believe in.
She's going to get a lot of money.
Yeah, I'm glad that you guys believe in love. That kind of love.
It's like Ace Rothstein and Ginger.
That's what we want, but she knew
at the end and he was willing. He told her she was going to be set the rest of her life.
It crushed him, though. You know what hurt him? It hurt him deep. It cut Ace deep. It hurt Ace. It did.
That was his damn fault.
It was his damn fault, but it was.
But
still
this girl's in wedded bliss with him.
Well, and if she
Ginger was never in wedded bliss with Ace, the day of the wedding, she's talking to Lester Diamond.
And that one is another thing that really hurts me.
How long did they date for? Did it say?
Who, Ace?
No, oh. Dennis. No.
Dennis Quaid? I don't know.
Because it says that they eloped. So they might be in their honeymoon phase right now.
Oh, well, then that's a wrap in 6 months. They better know each other.
See, here's the problem.
It's easy to connect with somebody for 3 days.
Like, he's going to be, like, watching TV. Go, yeah, the same. Or following politics. The same thing happened during the Vietnam War time. And she's going to go, what's that?
What?
So that might be a problem.
No.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, she might.
That could be a problem.
That could be a problem.
Well, then maybe she's like, oh, yeah, you're absolutely right. I followed the Vietnam War, and I, you know.
Studied
you never know what's going to come out of it.
I'm just going to say this. The EQ for women tends to be a lot higher than men, so that also probably plays a factor in the emotional intelligence, quote, you know,
yeah,
level.
Right.
She looks very emotionally intelligent.
I'm not saying it to be offensive.
She looks very emotionally intelligent. She might be more mature than he is. He could be like this silly Hollywood dip.
What is it?
And she brings him balance.
Exactly. What do they say? 7 years, right? Yeah, men are 7 years behind women.
Yeah, so.
Mentally.
Yes. So she's 34 and he's 59.
Yeah.
Well, that's still a huge.
I don't think that's that.
Look at me.
Egregious.
Like, my maturity level is not much beyond 29.
That's fair.
You know? Yeah. And he might be the same thing way. Correct.
That's fair.
All right, let's go Ike in Southwest Philly. Ike, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Ike.
Yo, man, y'all show and content be so versatile. You know, I can't front. Y'all went so deepness to the Dennis Quaid topic. It's dope, man. I love it. Yo, Mike, I got to tell you, thank you, first of all, man. Because when people be calling up always comparing their lives to athletes and millionaires and billionaires' lives, I think it's just so stupid. Because, yo, you got to realize that they're thinking about things on a different level because they got different experiences. Most people go to work to be able to achieve economic freedom, to make their choices or if they want to work or when they want to work.
Yeah.
These dudes got that, and then you want them not to utilize what they worked all their life to get? It makes no sense to me. And as far as people go with this mask and everything, you know what that lady said, that little clip you played?
Yeah.
I had seen on CNN. I swear she said something about those masks is killing us. Are you serious? I thought the mask is supposed to be help us not die.
Yeah, I didn't understand that either, but apparently it's there is a theory out there that the CO2 that you breathe back in is harmful. It's a myth that's been fostered on social media.
All right, well, you put me down with that because I ain't hear that part. But the other thing is, man, people not humble enough, man. Like, people, like, all the people always call up and say athletes is greedy, athletes are arrogant. But the truth of the matter is, sometimes a lot of us are the exact same thing that we call the athletes, because you're arrogant if you're sitting there putting your life above anybody else's life and not want to sit there and take the most easiest of precautions of just making sure that you don't have a party with somebody. You don't go around people. You don't think it's hard on everybody? You think that some of the people think that we, some of the people who are abiding by some of these rules, we want to be like this? Are you serious? I miss my friends. I miss a lot of my family that you don't get to see. You had to go to the funeral. I've been looking at a Zoom funeral before. I ain't never seen nothing like that, man. There's people are real, real arrogant. And it's just a shame, man, but I like that all three of y'all get props because y'all talk the truth and y'all speak your mind and it's really intelligent.
Thanks. Like, you know what it is. It's tough for people to put pro athletes in the same perspective as their lives because they look at them like the exalted, right? So therefore, we don't look at them as regular people like us.
Yeah, you know,
that's what people do. It's a natural tendency. And that's why I'm asking people, like, right now, to, like, what Malcolm Jenkins said, digest that a little bit. Like, does it have merit?
That's his opinion. That's how he feels.
Yeah, that's what I mean. And we should, like, refilter that whole thing and say, you know, I've really never thought of it that way. We're using these folks as lab animals to see if we can pull this off for our own enjoyment. And I say that I'm doing a sports talk radio show because it's stupid for me to cut off my nose and display my face. But, the reality of it is these guys may feel that way and they can't say it. A guy like Malcolm Jenkins has always had balls out, right? But there are a lot of other guys that go, I can't say that. And if I say that, my fan base is going to turn on me, and I need my fan base to make my money here in the city. I can't be a hated athlete. So, like, they're in a tough spot. And I'm just saying maybe we should acknowledge that. Now, I don't know what the conclusion is. And you can come to your own conclusion and say, yeah, I've acknowledged it. They should still be playing for me. Or you say, you know what? He's right. It's a non-essential job, business, and they don't need to do it.
Now, but you're... Mike, people don't necessarily think you're warm and fuzzy, but if you care about this illness, Alex Smith almost lost his darn leg. I know he makes a bunch of money as a quarterback. When he's playing for Washington, mm-hmm. It turns out that injury was bad enough to where he literally almost lost his leg.
Yes.
By and large, though, people don't care about that part. So the question I have for you, Mike, is mm-hmm. if we're going to have compassion and have thought, and you did mention that this might be for the first time with the virus mm-hmm. and the risk, isn't there, in football especially, that kind of physical risk that we should perhaps think about a little bit when we're watching NFL football?
There's absolutely no question about it. You see, I'm always of this, and you know me long enough to know that I'm always, when it comes to professional athletes, I go, I'm this do your job mentality. Like, I have very little solace for complaints. But this is a pandemic. Like, this is different. This is the human condition here. I'm afraid to go out to a damn grocery store.
Mm-hmm.
These guys are now going to be expected to do what? Play a football season where they're smashing into each other and they're like 53 men in a locker room and all that stuff and following this protocol. And even if you follow the protocol, you're not being safe. Like, you're not doing that as a human. Like, you're taking every precaution you can to keep you and your family safe. Some idiots are still going out there and congregating, but for the most part, especially in this area, we're conforming to a new way of life.
Right, like, Natalie wasn't going to be able to come back to this studio without the plexiglass
exactly.
And the dividers and stuff they put in here mm-hmm. to make her and I safe.
Right, and we had great discussion about that because obviously it would have been better for the show if Natalie's on TV every day for us,
yeah.
right? But we had it like, oh, it's not safe,
right?
It's not safe, and we can't like we're trying to set an example, and if we broke that we're talking about, then we would have no credibility at all.
Right, and you can't, and none of those NFL who even, some people will say, oh, that's not a big deal. It's a big deal to Natalie, it's a big deal to me, it was a big deal to you, Mike, it was a big deal to the company. If Fletcher Cox is lined up against an offensive guard, and that offensive guard has it, Fletcher Cox is getting it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's almost like a guarantee. Because mm-hmm. look how close they're 2 yeah. yards apart. They're not 6 feet apart.
I know that people are listening, it's tough to digest, because you don't want to think that you're being selfish about it. And I don't know if you are or not. I'm just asking you to think about it and have some kind of thought on it. Maybe it's the first time you thought, gee, you know, if I expect these football players to go out there and give me a season, I'm kind of being selfish. And if you don't feel that way, that's fine, too. I would love to hear your side of it. This is a discussion this is a great cigar around the fire pit discussion.
Yeah.
With a bourbon on the rocks.
Perhaps socially distanced.
Socially distanced.
Yes.
Yes. Correct. Jeff in Camden. Jeff, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Jeff.
What's going on, Mike? What's going on?
How you doing, Jeff?
I'm all right, man. So, like, Tyler made an excellent point when he said, talked about, the star power when it comes into it. Mm-hmm. By the way, Tyrone, who I'm still not speaking to until I get an apology, but that's a whole nother thing.
Jeff, you're going to be waiting a long time.
I know. But he was absolutely right when it comes to the star power because as much money as tennis players make, right? Novak Djokovic getting that, getting the COVID.
Mm-hmm.
Now that hasn't rung the bells that it should, as say LeBron James had gotten it. Can you think of another virus of another big superstar that just halted the nation and started making another virus take seriously? You know what I'm saying? As far as like when Magic.
Yeah, I get. Well, the baseball player Charlie Blackman just got it. There's been some golf. Golf is now affected by it.
Who on earth is Charlie Blackman?
He's one of the good players in Major League Baseball. You don't know who he is. He's in Colorado, but like he's a star player who got it.
And I want to just go off topic a little bit and make fun of...
Charlie Blackman?
I want to make fun of Bryce Harper right quick before my time runs out.
I got it.
Bryce Harper is a jinx, and it's been proven by the Washington Nationals. I've only seen this one other time when the best offensive player... But it didn't happen like just one season afterwards where they just win the championship. After Barry Bonds retired, San Francisco was able to string together championships. So I've never seen it the year right after... Jinx Bryce Harper, but now we have Jinx Bryce Harper.
Yeah, Jeff, let me ask you a question about you growing up. Were you one of these dudes as a kid who, like, your friends would go, that's red, and you go, that's blue? Were you one of those dudes growing up?
I had no friends.
Your takes are amazing to me. It's almost like you think about, like, what's the most preposterous other side you can think of, and then you come up with it.
What have I said that's been inaccurate?
Bryce Harper is a jinx?
Is a jinx, man.
And
the Nationals, something about them that they didn't mind losing them, and damn it, they won a damn championship.
He's one of 25 guys on a team. He's always produced. It's not like, why is he the guy? He's the guy
he's
you
the star.
Come on.
He's the star. That's all I'm saying.
There are a lot of teams with stars that don't win. That doesn't mean you don't want them.
Who loses their star and wins immediately afterwards? That's all I'm saying. So
who loses their star and stacks their pitching staff with five studs? Come on. You got to look beneath, Jeff.
Yes, I'm going.
You're not a beneath looker. You're a surface looker.
Philosophy and Shaolin.
You see the lily pad, but you don't see the root.
Damn right.
Get out of here.
Also, I'm supposed to apologize to him. He said Shake Milton, who is my guy, is better than Ben Simmons. I'm supposed to apologize for that. He said that.
I'm trying to figure out if he's real. Like, he might be one of these guys that go, okay, I'm going to say this today. Either that, or he was one of those guys that was just the most annoying contrarian growing up. You know? You've seen guys like that.
Just saying things for a reaction?
Yeah.
Guys like that in a barbershop.
Nine guys could say it's red. Nah, man, it's blue. What are you seeing? It's blue!
Yeah.
This guy in a barbershop, they're trying to argue that J-Lo, that Jennifer Lopez, prime Jennifer Lopez, not even now, that prime Jennifer Lopez wasn't attractive. We said, forget saying if she's not your cup of tea. He told the whole barbershop for an hour how she wasn't attractive.
So wait a minute, does this get heated in a barbershop?
Yeah, it gets real heated.
To the point where, like, people storm out or people get physical?
Yes.
Really?
I used to get into a lot of those. yes, it can get rough. It can get really rough in the barbershop. You got to be careful.
So wait, we can't. This is Jennifer Lopez story. Give me a quick version.
So
this actually happened.
This happened. This is like early 2000s. So this is like a long. Like, there's no doubt to Jennifer Lopez in 2002. Let's say is attractive. There's no, like, it's not even a thing.
Mm-hmm.
This guy was going on and on because of Hollywood makeup. And then we said, okay, so pick some actress that is attractive. And he picked a Hollywood actress. I said, she doesn't have access to the same makeup that Jennifer Lopez has. Mm-hmm. And for some reason, no matter how we twisted it, he was telling us that he kept on saying, y'all don't know what you're talking about. Then he tried to question the sexuality of people in the barbershop, which is not always the safest thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
He went all out to tell everybody, for some reason, that Jennifer Lopez was not attractive.
Is this guy contrarian normally?
Yeah.
He's one of those guys that's
like, I think he was like a Bucks fan. Uh-huh. And it is like, he was like, all kinds of stuff that like didn't make sense. Like, he couldn't even go, but it was just annoying. And none of us for some reason that day could let it go.
Yeah.
So everybody was just like, shut up. You sit up. Like, it got bad.
So what was it, like 100-1?
Yeah, because it was a packed barbershop, yeah. And it was, I think it was like on the TV in the barbershop, might have been a J-Lo movie.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, you're going to tell me that's not attractive? Like, not even attractive? No. If she walked into the barbershop, no one would give her a second look. I said, are you crazy? What is wrong with you?
What was his basis for saying nobody would give her a second look?
Because she was really ugly except for Hollywood makeup. Now, no, he had never seen her. This is pre-TMZ. He had not seen her without makeup.
Yeah,
it's also completely wrong.
You got to be objective on stuff like that. Like, she's not my cup of tea, but I can say she's a beautiful woman. It's like I can say Tiger Woods not my cup of tea, but he's a great golfer.
Right.
She's beautiful now.
Yeah, she looks incredible.
She still looks great. So there's no way she was unattractive in 2002, and in 2020, she still looked like it doesn't make, it didn't make sense then.
Uh-huh.
He should be apologizing, that guy.
All right. By the way, Paula Abdul, did you see the new commercial?
Yeah.
No.
Oh, yeah, they have a flashback of her dancing like years ago, and then she's dancing like
a
split screen.
She looks great.
And at her age now.
Yeah. She still got it.
She still got the dance. Yeah, for sure. I had her on once.
You did?
Yes.
Oh, I loved her.
I forget who was producing the show, but she got a little flirty with me.
Oh, she did.
Look at that.
She did, because I remember people saying, Mike, you're like get digits. Like, I forget why she was on. It might have been when we did the celebrity call-in contest.
Oh.
Somebody's got. I don't remember like exactly, but somebody will remember that she called in.
Oh, and how did she flirt? What'd she say?
I can't remember, but I remember there was a little flirtation thing.
Because
I'm not a big Paula Abdul fan.
No.
So it was like a reverse flirtation. Like, I wasn't flirting.
Right.
Well, maybe she's still quality. I mean, she don't have to be your exact copy.
I don't know. I would have dated her.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
But I can't remember the circumstance. I'm pretty sure it was the celebrity call-in contest. But somebody's been a listener for a lot of years. We'll refresh my memory.
I want to give a shout-out to my barber real quick. Jabril, he He opened a new barbershop like yesterday.
Oh, he did?
Or Monday, the Barber's Lounge. So I want to congratulate him.
Oh, all right.
He used to have a different barbershop.
Where's this, in Jersey?
It's in Pensauken.
Okay.
Yeah, he opened up the Barber's Lounge. So good for him. Very proud of him. He's a good guy and good businessman. He's a role model for a lot of kids because he came from Pensauken and is an entrepreneur.
Well, speaking of Pensauken, I read today that Leon Rose, the president of Knicks, hires Worldwide West, William Wesley, who's a Pensauken high man.
I know. It's wild.
Did you know him?
I did not.
Okay.
I did not. I wish I did, but I did not.
All right. 610-638-32-0975 back after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Fanatic.
All right, let's get an update on Twitter poll. And the Twitter poll is brought to us by Paul B. Moyer and Sons, Natalie Eganoff.
Thanks, Mike. Over 800 votes on this one today. Malcolm Jenkins says, sports aren't essential businesses. Is he correct? 65% say yes, sports are a luxury. 22% say no, sports are essential. 13% say it depends.
Wow, 44%, the majority still hanging in there with... it's not life or death that we play sports.
Yeah.
That's encouraging, actually.
Yeah.
I didn't think we would get that. It's not a big number, but it's a big enough one.
Yeah.
It outnumbers the other number.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah. I do wonder, in practice, how they'll react if and when a player they care about opts out. Then you get what I'm saying? Like, if you're saying that, then if a player you
Ben
care,
Simmons.
Right, then you can't then be like, well, Ben, you're soft, you're this, you can't do any of that if you really think, you know what I mean? Like, that's why it is encouraging, but I'm skeptical.
Well, that's what I'm saying. This is a slanted board because a guy like Ben Simmons can't. A guy like Malcolm Jenkins may be able to. A guy like Carson Wentz can't. A backup quarterback may be able to. You know,
right?
And this is what I'm talking about, the what those guys are feeling now. They go, in my heart, I don't want to put myself or my family at risk.
Well, Adam Schefter is tweeting out that the NFL executive vice president Jeff Pasch said teams have been advised that training camps are expected to open on the normal schedule. So business as usual.
That's normal. That's so normal for that league.
Business as usual in the NFL.
That league is just so predictable. All right, let's go back to the phone. Steve in Germantown. Steve, you're on 97.5 The Fanatic. Steve.
Mike, how you doing, man?
What's up, Steve?
Good. Natalie, Ty, how you doing?
They're fantastic. They're peachy.
All right.
Yeah.
Listen, Mike, I'm in total agreement with you. I mean, and Malcolm. Sports, I mean, even though some people take it as life and death, what it is entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
And it's great to have, but it's not essential when you get to these situations.
Think about the Roman gladiators.
Yeah, exactly.
Right? Somebody was going to die, it was acceptable. Right?
And
it's romantic because it was just for the entertainment of the Romans.
And in a large way, you know, athletes in particular, football players, are modern gladiators.
Exactly. And think about the evolution of that. The emperor going, you slay him.
And look where we are now with the recognition of the long-term damage from concussions and things like that, years ago, no one cared about.
Yeah, we care about, and we do care about it after the fact. You're right. But we don't care about, like, the first thing, the safety rules. What was the people's first reaction? Like, the blind hit, the no wedge. Like, oh, yeah, let's put a skirt on them. Like, right?
But even now, Mike, if they were to put out one of those greatest hits videos, it would sell like hotcakes.
It would?
I don't know about now. I think it's just because it's part of the game. I mean,
yeah, but we have a new awakening now of sorts.
Hits that would cause injury, but just, legal hard hits,
Yeah. First of all, it would be totally irresponsible for anybody to do that.
It would. But I'm just saying, this is what the public would gobble it up.
Yeah, that's why I'm asking the public to sit down and think about this particular thing. And so far, our poll reflects that they are thinking about it, that, you know, we are using these guys as the lab experiment. And when we're safe, we got our door locked, we got our TV on, and I got popcorn in a bowl. And, you know, I got my family. I'm not at risk. I'm not going outside.
Yeah. I think we should put off any experiments like that that's going to put someone at risk. I mean, what's the limit?
What's the acceptable number of deaths? I don't know. But, like, you know what I mean? What's the acceptable amount of people who test positive?
Exactly. You know, and therefore, you know, somebody's grandmother by extension could, you know, be a tragedy.
The test is, and thanks for the call, Steve. The test is if somebody who's really important to the game gets it, because their mentality is, well, you know, you got a lot of players that you can fill in with, but you can't fill in with stars. So just like when it happened to the Utah Jazz that night with Rudy Gobert testing positive, all of a sudden we got an awakening. Mm-hmm. And it was like, okay, we got to shut some stuff down now. So what the NFL goes merrily along, and they go, we're going to do this. We're going on like scheduled, because they haven't had the magnitude of star players testing positive.
I think it's going to be Brady, Breeze, Rodgers.
It would have to be those guys, you're saying?
Yeah, Russell Wilson. Like, if they're not great, great players, the NFL is not going to care.
Yeah.
Because this is how they are.
Mm-hmm.
It could be the best left tackle in football, whoever you think. It can be the best right. It could be Lane Johnson. They're not going to stop a league for some Lane Johnson.
Yep.
They wouldn't. It would have to be. I don't think they would for Carson Wentz. I don't think it'd be even Carson Wentz. It'd have to be the guys they think are the top guys. Brady and Breeze, I think, are the two. And Rodgers. Those are probably the top three as far as longevity and all that kind of stuff. If one of those three get it, then I think they take notice. Short of that, I think that Goodell will just walk around that hallway and say nothing like he usually does.
Yep. 610-622-0975. Oh, we got a barbershop caller. It's Omar from the shop. What's up, Omar?
Hey, man. What's happening, fellas? How everybody
what
doing?
What are you doing, buddy? How you doing?
Hey, I want to tell you this. Tyrone is 100% on the button. The barbershop, you would get punched in the nose immediately. Arguments like the J-Lo argument or facts. When guys
really, that would escalate into physical violence, huh?
Immediately. Because you know J-Lo's good looking. You know she is. So to even say that, a guy will throw up another name, and then he'll automatically say, she was way better than her. Way better than her. And that'll cause an argument. And in the midst of that argument, a sports fact will be thrown in there, and a fight will kick off automatically.
Okay, wait. Give me the best scrap that you ever saw in a barbershop, and what was the topic?
The best scrap in a barbershop was an argument over. Actually, a guy got shot, man.
Wow.
Of an argument, were they trying to trade the dot to Houston or to Portland?
No.
Over.
A guy got shot. What?
Shot. The argument got so heated. Was he getting traded to Houston? And then the guy was quoting, I remember the Inquirer said, Houston needs a doctor, which I don't remember that. And the barbershop was split, but these two guys got to a heavy argument, and one guy got shot in the leg over that, man.
The guy brought a gun into the barbershop?
Well, everybody has a gun in the barbershop. Man.
Really?
That's what it is.
Everybody's packing in the barbershop?
Got to pay attention.
It's a dangerous situation.
When you're getting your beard cleaned up, man, you got to know who's walking in. You may, you know, people owe people money.
Man.
The barbershop is the epicenter of the black community.
I know that part of it. I didn't know people were packing. If you have arguments in there and you got a gun, you're likely to pull it out. That's not good.
If you're looking for somebody to stick around the barbershop, he's going to come through there. 9 times out of 10, he's going to come through the person you're looking for, and that's probably where it's going to happen at.
Oh, man, that's not good. All right, Omar.
All right.
Tyrone.
Yeah.
Barbershops you go, people packing?
Oh, I'm sure there are, people are.
You ever noticed that somebody, were you ever in a barbershop where you knew a guy had a gun?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What?
Lots of people have guns.
Yeah, a lot of people, yeah.
Yeah, but I thought the barbershop was like safe environment for, you know, it's like, it's not.
Safe is relative. Like, nothing's going to happen. I will say most of the guys aren't crazy enough when there's like kids in there, like stuff like that. Usually it's when, or women, like if they got, because a lot of times the mom will bring the kid in, not like that. But yeah, it's been heated. Like I had a guy like definitely try to choke me out all the way out in the barbershop over something.
Really?
Yeah, like had me like MMA style, like tried to choke me out. Oh yeah, like stuff happens.
I can see, like, I didn't expect the gun part of this conversation.
Well, that doesn't happen every day. Like, he mentioned it happened one time. Like, that. Yeah. But there are guys, yeah. And that was my problem when I was younger. I didn't necessarily know who I was talking trash to.
Uh-huh.
Could have been unsafe for me. Like, it could have been very unsafe for me. Like, extremely unsafe. Like, I look back on it and go, I should have done that differently. I didn't know him like that at that time to talk to him the way that I did.
What was the argument over?
It usually was sports.
Yeah.
It would usually be sports. And actually, I got a lot of arguments defending Five.
You've defended Five?
Yeah, when they didn't get, before pre-TO Five, I defended Five all the time. And it would end up rotating into being, he'd always like, he's a top five quarterback in this league. Oh, they would talk about Manning. I said, fine, I'll give you them. But McNabb's right with him. He don't have any. He's got Stinkston and Trash as his receivers. And and it would escalate. Oh, yeah, it would get.
So fellas were down on Five early, you're saying?
Well, a lot of, you know, in this area, I got to deal with Cowboys fans. I got to deal with all of them.
Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah, like it would get. And there was one time where I got into it with a barber. His name was, well, I think he moved from the area, but I don't want to talk about it.
As he's cutting your hair?
No.
Oh, okay.
They had put a PlayStation in there. And he was complaining about somebody cheating. Anybody cheating in video games, Trey? And then it escalated. And then I was definitely like saying, I was definitely disrespectful because I thought like I said his name.
Yeah.
Let's just move on.
You did say his name.
It was a mistake.
That's like in The Wire when my man said Omar's name during a robbery at the drug dealers.
Yeah.
You remember that scene?
I do remember that scene. Yeah, I shouldn't have said
Come
that.
Come on, Omar, this guy. And he looked at him like, wasn't supposed to say Omar. 610-632-0975. All right, the other side. You people in Penn Ridge. I'm going to do it, Mr. Costanza on you. I got a lot of problems with you people in Penn Ridge. We'll talk about it after this.
The Mike Missinelli Show.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
97.5 The Fanatic.
All right, 3:47, Mike Missinelli Show. All right, let me just briefly touch on this. And I want to hear from the people who live in the Penn Ridge area. I'd like to hear from you because I actually am not down on you because what happened was there was kind of a rebellion on a school board meeting, a virtual school board meeting. About 170 people joined in to express their displeasure. So that's at least a comforting thing. But it deals with the vice president of the Penn Ridge School Board. And she's the curriculum director in the school district. Her name is Joan Cullen. She tweeted out on her personal Twitter page a response to some other guy who had tweeted out saying there is no systemic racism in America. The truth is that white people do not get up every day and spend their time and energy trying to stop black people. She follows it up by saying, I'll add to this. Now, this is the school board vice president, mind you. There also is no systematic sexism, homophobia, etc. Those who try to convince you you're being held back by someone else do not have your best interests in mind. They need you to be a victim so they can control you. Break free. Now, this is, again, a school board vice president in charge of a curriculum. And I wonder how people in the Pembridge area feel about this.
I guess she's never been affected by anything. What, does she live in a bubble where she's never been a victim of?
I don't know. Is that a bubble up there? I mean, Pembridge is Upper Bucks County. I assume it's bubble-esque.
But it's intriguing because I guess there's a lot of people who report to her.
Yes.
And if that's her mindset and, you know, God forbid you're sexually harassed and you go to her.
This woman should be removed immediately. And this is beyond free speech because I guess you can say anything you want on Twitter. But if you're in a position of responsibility where you're supposedly influencing young minds, this is a fireable offense. She needs to go.
The other part is, had she said you cannot allow systemic racism to stop you, fine. Mm-hmm. Fine. In fact, good. Because that's the actual message that kids need to hear, because mm-hmm. if they're about to graduate high school, they're going into that system, a system that's not quote unquote fixed.
Mm-hmm.
But to suggest to them that it doesn't exist is doing them a great disservice, because when they get told no, and they are qualified and they are the quote best and brightest, then what do they then do? What mechanism is she providing by saying that to a student, to the person who's like Tyrone, who applies for a job and then applies for the same job as Anthony mm-hmm. and then gets the interview as Anthony and doesn't get it as Tyrone? What is she providing that student? Because I can tell you that happens.
Yeah.
So, you know what I mean?
This is like amazing to me. Like the people that live in that, I mean, this is a woman who's vice president of the school board influencing policy and has these kind of attitudes. There's like the fact that she's still in her position is amazing to me. So, I mean, I don't know what the protocol is or what will happen from there. If you live in the Pembridge area, then you're going to be dealing with this yourself. So and I just want to add one thing, because my childhood buddy is the Bucks County Democratic Party chairman. And he is in response to this, he is announcing a zero tolerance bylaw taking care of the Democrat. Any act by a member of the Democratic committee who provokes racism, anti-Semitism, sexism, homophobia, or bigotry of any kind will be grounds for removal from the organization. Any candidate will withdraw the support for any candidate who gets involved in it. Now, they're doing that, hoping that the other side will also adopt a measure like that. So thanks to I would just give a shout-out to my buddy John Cardisco. He's the Democratic Party chairman, and he acted right away on this. So people in Pembridge, I get to hear from you.
I just don't know how you could have that mindset and try and foster a better environment for children.
It's mind-boggling to me.
Racism, sexism, homophobia, it's these are the issues that children are now dealing with. Children deal with it first, and
this is the whole point of it. Like, how many times have I mentioned people live in a bubble that have no understanding of what goes on outside their little bubble? I just don't get it. Like, who are you educating? You have children? Is that a good education for your children? 610-632-0975. We'll obviously talk more about this. One thing that has just been approved in the NFL. They will, and this was being talked about, so it's been official now. So when they have the NFL games, whether they have fans in it or not, they're still working that out, how many fans they can have. They are going to put tarps in the best areas of the stadium. And the tarps will cover the seats. But here's the beauty of the NFL. They're just not doing that just because they want to eliminate some seats. And that's the prudent thing to do. The tarps will be sponsored tarps. So there will be corporate emblems and logos all over the stadium, advertising that will be paid for by those sponsors, which will make up for the revenue that they would not get from ticket sales. How about that, League? It's amazing.
They're a machine.
They got every button, don't they?
What's funny is initially they said they were going to do that initially to keep fans away from players, because if a player runs towards the end of the end zone, the player might feel like they should do a Lambeau leap or throw a football. So we're going to keep those seats closed to stop a transmission of the virus. That's how it started. And very quickly, it skipped to nope, sponsors.
The motives of this league are never pure.
Ever.
Like, they never do something for the sake of doing something because it's right. It's like, you actually see these bean counters in there going, you know, we ought to make this to our advantage. Yeah, we'll make it look like, you know, we're protecting people, but in reality, we'll make it some money. We got the golden arches. They're right behind the end zone. It's amazing. All right, 610-620-975, back after this.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.